evidence from a range of post-crisis situations across the world has demonstrated that crises disproportionately affect women more than men. Women die in greater numbers in natural disasters, and in many cases, what we find is that this number is quite significant. And so just to give the example of the Bangladesh cyclone, we were able to assess and verify that up to five times more women died as men. And to give another example in terms of the Indian Ocean tsunami, we had women accounting for 67% of fatalities. And so this lends a number of questions, one being, you know, what is it about natural disasters that yields such numbers? These numbers are obviously not just important, but they suggest a pattern. And in trying to understand essentially this pattern, what is clear is that issues relating both to access, that is access to, let's say, infrastructures or a range of measures that make women vulnerable is unequal.
Let's talk about the 2010 earthquake. What particular effects did we learn that this had on women in the country?
The effects were multiple, a number of them temporary in nature, but it was also clear that permanent effects that are intergenerational in nature were triggered by this. Specifically, we found, for example, that girls in displacement camps engaged in transactional sex, obviously as a result of, amongst other things, increased vulnerability during these periods. We find as a response that cash for work programs that UN Women is putting forward are one response to this. We also found that really targeting women and girls as a result of natural disasters is really important as a means of reversing gender discrimination. And so what we find in terms of natural disasters and their effects on women and girls, these essentially intensify existing social norms that essentially perpetuate discrimination.
Could you tell us about some of those discriminatory gender norms, specifically as relate to Haiti?
We have a number of norms that really Haiti demonstrates in line with many other low-income and fragile settings. We have, for example, gender discrimination in terms of, for example, inheritance. We also have challenge, which means obviously that poverty remains feminized. We also have challenges with regards to access to prevention and, or should I say, protection. Here, for example, access following incidences of sexual and gender-based violence is a challenge, and we are working obviously with the various national stakeholders to ensure better access to such.
And Mr. Ngororano, you recently visited Jeremie, which is one of the hardest hit areas due to the hurricane. I think you met with displaced women there. What did they tell you?
Displaced women indicated very clearly that from the perspective of humanitarian assistance, they were not, at the time that we visited now a week ago, receiving food in the quantities or in terms of the actual components or composite elements that they needed. So we had a number of them reporting that they're receiving wheat instead of rice. What this means is that feeding children was made difficult because wheat is more difficult to prepare. They also indicated that even when they received food, a number of the pieces required to actually prepare this food were missing. So, for example, stoves and the various elements required to operate these stoves. They also indicated that they needed a channel through which their voices could be heard.
How can, for example, Haiti's government and the United Nations, UN Women, ensure that women's voices are heard in these cases? Or tell us about the steps you're taking.
Right. There are a number of measures. Already strengthening existing machinery is one of our priorities. In doing this, we are working with Haiti's equivalent of Ministry of Gender to ensure that planning structures and planning processes that bring women to the table are in place. Specifically, we are looking and working with the ministry to ensure that collection of sex disaggregated data is conducted in a manner that is structured, systematic, and effective. We are also working with women's organizations to ensure that they have an input into the response underway and that they are able essentially to provide us also with, where possible, real-time information with regards to areas or issues such as where assistance is reaching and anything related to this.